It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. To the surprise of virtually no one, the highly anticipated release of the new Superman movie is tops at the box office. Whether it's this movie, the earlier ones with Christopher Reeve, or the TV shows, including the old black and white one with George Reeves, the cartoons, or the comic books, America has had an obsession with Superman since the character first appeared in comic book form 75 years ago. But where did Superman come from, besides the planet Krypton? In his new book, Superboys, The Amazing Adventures of Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman, author Brad Ricca explores Superman's origins and the story of the two Cleveland teenagers who dreamed him up. Brad Ricca is a Sages Fellow teacher at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, and he joins us by phone from there. Brad Ricca, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
If you have a comment or a question for our guest, join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. You can email us at esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Brad Ricca, what made you want to write a book about this, about the origin of Superman?
I think it was just because it seemed to me, you know, growing up in, Cleveland, growing up in the Rust Belt, it just seemed to me just so ludicrous that, you know, Superman was created here, you know? It just seemed impossible. I mean, it seemed like a character like that, you know, it had to come from New York or Hollywood or somewhere like that. And you know, you kind of hear this story of these two, you know, kids, really, with no training, who just really wanted to, you know, kind of become famous, kind of, you know, be writers, be artists, and they came up with this great character who we're still, you know, throwing money at 75 years later.
It's hard to imagine a world with no Superman, but before these two boys got around to inventing him, Superman did not exist. So who are Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, and how did they do what they did?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the real kind of thing I was, you know, interested as, you know, as an adult. As a kid, you know, you read Superman, you're like, oh, this is great, he's, you know, punching people into space. But as an adult, you know, you want to think about, you know, how did they do it? And they were both, you know, poor Cleveland kids. They lived in the Jewish neighborhood of Glenville. And, you know, they had no prospects for college. You know, after high school, both their families were poor. But the one, Jerry, you know, he really wanted to be a writer. He read all these, you know, pulp magazines with these covers with aliens and scientists, and he just really wanted to be a writer. So he, you know, wrote all the time, and he met Joe Shuster, who became his kind of instant best friend, and Joe wanted to be an artist. You know, he really loved reading the comics and the newspapers, and he liked science fiction too, and they just really saw it as this way out of, you know, kind of, you know, during the Depression and, you know, looking at this future career of, you know, working, you know, kind of menial jobs, that kind of thing. It was really, you know, this idea of creating a character, like you said, that was brand new, that would just be a home run, you know, and would get them out of this situation. So it's really a remarkable story how, you know, something that hadn't existed. I mean, there were kind of, you know, there were fictional heroes, of course. There was the Lone Ranger, you know, the Shadow and Tarzan, but there was nothing like Superman before these two came along.
And what were their influences? You mentioned some sort of a science fiction bent that they were predisposed to, but, you know, what sort of inspired them to create something like Superman?
Yeah, because it's such a weird character when you look at it, right? You kind of take it for granted as a kid, but then you look at it later on, you're like, well, you know, he's got the underwear on the outside and the spit curl. And what it turns out, what I found out in research for the book, is that a lot of it was autobiographical. For one, you know, the artist was Joe, is this really small guy, and, you know, he's sent away for all these physical fitness, manuals because he wanted to be big and strong. And he did all these exercises, and half of them say, you know, if you finish my course, you will be a Superman. But it never worked for him, so he kind of just drew the stronger guy. So they're taking things from their lives, you know, the fact that, girls weren't talking to them and that they were a little smaller, a little meeker, but they're also taking stuff from the world around them. So, you know, like strong men were kind of big attractions back then in the 30s. They were, you know, often from Europe, and they had these, you know, great names, you know, the great Vorstock or something like that. And they would, you know, come on the stage, and they had gladiator boots, and they had tights, and they had these short capes. And you see pictures of them, and they look a lot like Superman. So what I kind of found was that Superman, you know, was kind of like Frankenstein's monster a little bit. He was kind of stitched from all these little bits of, you know, culture and current events that were going on. You know, there's a little FDR in him, actually. You know, there's a little bit of the New Deal in him, too. But also really their personal lives as well.
So they create this comic book, and how did they know that they had something that the comic book world would be interested in?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because I'm not sure of the answer, but I kind of like to think of it as, you know, kind of good old kind of, you know, Rust Belt or Midwest, whatever you want to call it, this kind of blissful ignorance. You know, they had no training. And people, you know, kind of think, oh, they just had this idea for Superman, you know, that was it. They worked on this idea for several years, and literally everyone in the country they sent it to said, this is ridiculous. But they wouldn't give up. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, where did that resolve come from, that they knew they had a hit, you know, as weird as it was to people who had never seen it before? And I think it was just, you know, that they really believed in what they were doing, and they certainly changed it over the years. But, you know, there's also something to, you know, not knowing any better. This was their, you know, this was their big creation, and a lot of kind of, you know, great art and great, you know, works of the imagination, you know, it's always that first one sometimes where it's really interesting and it's really new just because the person doing it, you know, doesn't know any better, right? There's a real kind of primal force to that. And I think that's a big reason, you know, why Superman kind of, you know, struck this chord with American culture and is still with us today.
So who did they take their work to? What publishers did they approach, and how did this thing end up being mass produced?
Yeah, literally everybody. You know, there's all these great stories after Superman hit it big of all these editors, you know, saying, I remember it being on my desk, and I remember sending the letter back saying this will never be published. And them, you know, sort of hitting their heads on the desk, wishing they would have bought it. They literally sent it to everyone. You know, it eventually wound up at National Comics, which is now DC Comics. And it's kind of a strange story because they had seen it before and had rejected it. And there's a lot of different stories as to why, you know, they eventually took it, you know, several years later. And a lot of that's kind of guessing because, you know, these guys, I don't want to, you know, say they were shady business people. I mean, they kind of were, but a lot of, you know, a lot of the promises were kind of just held in handshakes, right? Not a lot was written down. So what I found in the book is kind of what I think happened. And a lot of people, you know, so they sold the character to them finally for $130. But at the same time, they sold away all the rights to the character in perpetuity to National Comics, which, you know, was a huge mistake in hindsight on their part. And people have always wondered, you know, did they know the character was going to be so big? You know, either side, were they making a mistake? And what I come to in the book is I think that National did know what they had. And I think it has a lot to do with The Lone Ranger, which was another, you know, big movie coming out from Disney soon, is that, you know, The Lone Ranger was making a lot of money because it was being franchised into other media. And I think the heads of National Comics, you know, they wanted The Lone Ranger. They couldn't get it, and they were looking for another character who could do that. And my kind of theory is they saw that in Superman, and they were right, because within a year or so, you know, we started seeing more Superman comics, Superman on on the radio, Superman cartoons in the movie theaters. It just really hit the ground running.
The book is Superboys, The Amazing Adventures of Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman. The author is Brad Ricca. He joined us from Cleveland. Brad, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.